今天我们继续讲赞茶善恶业报经。
So today we're going to continue the lecture on the sutra for the discernment of the consequences of wholesome and unwholesome karma.
上个礼拜哈，不好意思，就是那个 PowerPoint 的颜色哈太淡，所以后面的看不清楚。那今天也有几个重要的，我会让大家再看一遍哈。好。
So apologies about last week where some of the fonts in the PowerPoint was difficult for the people in the back to see. So we're going to repeat several of the slides today. So hopefully that you'll be able to get a better view.
所以可以看见吗？后面的。再看。
Can you see that?
Yes.
Sorry, 以后我们会换大的 screen 啊。
老师，我们可以用 camera
照相。
照相，
好，可以，
可以哈。
好，行走，可以哈。上个礼拜哈，我们讲到说这部经呢，它的主讲者哈是坚净性菩萨，然后呢，他的其实回答的人不是佛陀，是地藏王菩萨。那地藏王菩萨为什么他有资格来回答这个很艰难的问题呢？那佛陀有解释哈，但是最主要的是，这部经呢是一个叫做它是离却诺法，那地藏王菩萨他是善安慰说者，也就是说地藏王菩萨呢他是可以有一切的善巧方便来让众生离却诺。
So last week we've talked about the beginning of the sutra when it was the solid pure faith Bodhisattva who posed the question to the Buddha. And it actually wasn't the Buddha that responded to the question, it was Earth Store Bodhisattva who was deemed qualified to answer the question. And in this sutra as well as Earth Store Bodhisattva, he's known for being the one that's giving courage and helping people to dispel fears and lack of confidence, lack of faith. And so in that sense, he's also known as the great counselor and comforter for practitioners.
我不晓得大家有没有恐怖的事情，恐惧的事情有吗？
I'm wondering if those of you amidst the audience, do you have anything that you worry about, fear about?
像什么？
Such as what?
Fear?
Yes.
Existence.
Wonderful. Okay. Should I reply in English? 所以 Robert 说存在就是一种恐惧哈。So this is a very good fear that we all have. 师父在圆觉经里面有讲到哈。说我们众生的根本无明，就是我们必须要觉知才能够存在，才知道自己存在 perceive。那这个假设我们没有觉知的时候，我们就觉得自己不存在，这是件很恐怖的事情，就是自己不存在，不再存在这件事情。会很恐怖，所以我们不愿意放弃我们的觉知觉受，因为这个觉知觉受的这种互动关系让我们知道我们自己真实存在。
So this is an excellent question. 师父 in the Perfect Enlightenment Sutra actually talked about it where human beings we feel there's a need for us to perceive the objectsin order to affirm our sense of existence. And without losing the sense of perception, the object of perception as well as the awareness of perception, we feel that we don't exist anymore, and it can indeed create great fear.
所以我记得有一次我们有一个法师，我们在禅期的时候，他其实打得不错，可是他的方法用得非常非常的好的时候，他到某一个阶段的时候呢，就是 当我们用方法用到心不再攀缘的时候的那一刹那，它产生了很大的恐惧心，因为它的心，我们的心习惯攀缘。当你没有东西可以攀缘的时候，好像在万丈的深渊没有底，所以它产生了非常大的恐惧心。这是我们非常根深蒂固的一种无明，就是说没有觉知我们就不存在了。
So I remember one of the monastics during one of the, from Dharmadrum during one of the chan retreat. This person was is actually a good practitioner, a good meditator. She had entered a really good state, but she was able to obtain a state where her mind is no longer grasping onto anything, any external conditions. And it actually aroused tremendous fear in her, because for us human beings to have a sense of self existence, we need to grasp onto a phenomenon. And so this need to feel existence, to be perceiving objects, is a very fundamental and deep rooted habit that we have.
所以为什么地藏王菩萨要巧眼身法，因为当佛陀一直讲说无我空性的时候，会让众生产生什么怯懦，望之却步，想说无我了吗？那我是不是失去所有的东西？我是不是不再存在了？那这会产生一种恐惧，但是这个对于初阶者来讲是没有办法体会那种恐惧的。
And so that is why the Earth Store Bodhisattva had to use expedient means to expel the profound Dharma. And that's because when the Buddha talks about this deep level of enlightenment, it oftentimes will make people become, some practitioners become really fearful, worried that, does it mean that I will lose everything and that myself, my sense of self will no longer exist? It creates a really profound fear that most of us who haven't reached that state yet, it's actually difficult for us to battle.
但是一般你们还恐惧什么？害怕什么？
鬼。
啊？
鬼。
鬼哈，怕鬼。对。
What are some other fears? Some people say ghosts, spirits.
为什么怕鬼？
怕死。
然后为什么怕死？
不清楚。
So why are you afraid of ghosts?Because of you're afraid of dying. Why are you afraid of dying?
好，我刚开始念地藏经的时候哈，应该很多人也是同样的问题哈，因为地藏经里面一天到晚讲很多鬼，对不对？哇，好，然后有人就问我说，法师晚上可不可以念地藏经？然后呢，在家里可不可以念地藏经？哈，会不会所有的鬼都跑来我家？哈，晚上的时候哈，就是哈，都是鬼哈，那怎么办？他们不走怎么办？哈。
So when I first started reciting the Earth Store Sutra, well, you know, in that sutra it talks about a lot of spirits and ghosts, the hell realm. So there were someone actually asked me the question that is it all right that I recite the Earth Store Sutra at nighttime? Does that mean that by reciting it, all the ghosts will congregate and come over to my place and they will leave at night? And then what would happen if that's the case?
那好像真的是有人好像会看的哈，是说哎真的呢，当我们诵经的时候哈，就很多鬼来了哈。然后告诉你哦，不是只有诵地藏经，诵什么经都一样。为什么他们会来？他们要听闻佛法，那不是只有鬼来而已哦，护法神也来了呢，好，诸天鬼神通通来。希望从你这边得到一点佛法。
So there are actually people with some spiritual power who can see beings of different realms. They actually do say yes when you're reciting sutras, the Earth Store Sutra. A lot of ghosts, spirits will gather. But that's the case not only when you recite the Earth Store Sutra. When you're reciting whichever sutra that's also the case. But then also remember, it's not only the ghosts and spirits that come, all the jhana protectors and heavenly beings, they also gather. And that is because they all want to receive some sort of benefit from the dharma that you're reciting.
所以呢，其实我刚开始念地藏经的时候，我也有，因为我看不见嘛，我也有这样的一个恐惧啊，哈，就是说，其实我小时候也蛮怕鬼的哈，因为看不见嘛，哈，啊，你不晓得他们会做什么事情。然后我是送了好几年之后，忽然有一天，我有一个觉醒哈，我想说，这里面的鬼都是鬼王哎，就是小鬼来，鬼王来。他是统治小鬼的哈，所以我送地藏经的时候，鬼王来，我为什么要怕鬼？因为鬼王会来护持这部经典嘛哈。而且后来最重要的是说，我们当我们送任何经、持任何咒的时候，内心里面要持的是一种大悲心，是说我们在帮佛陀弘扬佛法。宣扬佛法，然后把这个法借由我们的嘴，借由我们的心，告诉所有一切有缘的众生，希望他们能够获得利益。那反思一下，我们诵经已经诵了几百遍几千遍了，烦恼有没有少掉10%？解脱了吗？没有，对不对？那众生呢？我们是不是诵一遍回向给他，他就解脱了？你自己都还没有解脱啊，哈，怎么去说服别人？因为第一步进了解脱，所以我们都要不断不断的熏习，不断不断的重复，然后来让自己有一天真的能够见佛的开佛之见嘛，哈。
So when I first started to recite Earth Orb Sutra, I myself actually had similar fear. To be honest, I'm afraid of ghosts too when I was young, because they're invisible. I can't see them, and I don't know. People tend to give rise to fear when you don't know what's happening, for things that you can't see. But then I started reciting, and after quite a few years of repeated recitation of Earth Orb Sutra, one day suddenly I had this realization that.Whenever I'm reciting the sutra, I'm actually reciting the names of these ghost kings. The ghost kings, they are actually they control and they govern all the little puny ghosts. So why should I be afraid? And these great ghost kings, they are actually protectors of Dharma. So there's really no need for me to become fearful. And also, as I'm reciting the sutra, whenever we recite, we have to give rise to a great compassion in mind that the purpose of reciting is through our own words as well as our own thoughts. We are trying to pass on and share the Dharma with all sentient beings. So all of us have been reciting sutras for many years. Has your vexations indeed decreased, maybe even 10%? And some of you earlier shook your head. And if that's the case, why do you think that merely by reciting it once or twice and transferring your merit to the spirits just once or twice would be substantial enough to help them? So that is why we have to continue with our practice and recite these sutra over and over.
所以到后来是所有这些鬼神哈，其实都是我们的护法神，所以我们不要叫他鬼哈，我们要叫他护法哈，护法。他是来护法，提醒我们精进用功的哈。但是现在我又产生另外一种恐惧哈，就是怕自己不够精进用功，那护法神就会来修理你哈。那就要提高警觉哈，常常要精进用功。
That's why we shouldn't be calling them ghosts. Either ghosts or deities, heavenly beings, they're all Dharma protectors. They gather.To promote and propagate the Dharma. And so that's what we should be calling them. So after, you know, this sort of not becoming afraid, being afraid of ghosts anymore, then I have the second fear. Now I start to worry about not working hard enough, not being rigorous enough in my practice. And in that case, the Dharma protectors may try to punish me or something. So it's actually a good reminder to push me to work hard.
那其实我们一般在生活当中，我们是有很多恐惧的哈。得到了好，得到了好的工作，我怕失去，对吧？好，啊，嫁了一个好的先生，娶了个好太太，怕别人抢去，对不对？然后呢，你的房子怕着火了吧？好，啊，开好车怕被撞了吧？我们就是在很多的事情当中，因为我们有我们自己的贪着，或是你怕失去，你就会产生恐惧哈。所以只要我们没有解脱，我们都有恐惧。那在心经上，心经里面就讲得很明白，他说菩提萨多哈，菩萨因波也波罗蜜多故，怎么样？心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，就可以远离颠倒梦想，就能够究竟涅槃，对不对？所以如果说你说我不害怕，我没有恐怖，意思是说你怎么样？你是远离颠倒梦想了吗？啊，究竟涅槃了哈。这个就是要去反思自己内心常常有的一些恐惧哈。那地藏王菩萨呢，他就可以用各式各样的方法来让我们远离怯懦。
We all actually have a lot of fears in our everyday life. If you have a good job already, then you worry about losing your job. If you have a good spouse, then you worry about someone stealing him or her. When you own a house, you worry about the house catching fire. When you have a nice car, you worry about the car being scratched or getting a car accident. So we all have all sorts of fears because we grasp, we're attached to things, we're afraid of losing them. And because we're not liberated, we haven't become liberated, and that's why we have fear. And that is why in the Heart Sutra, the verse goes, when the mind is free from attachment, there will no longer be fears. You will be free from deluded thinking and ultimately reaching nirvana. And so if you claim that you have no fear, is that true? Have you really reached... Are you really far from, have you already detached yourself from all deluded thinking? Is that the case? So, that is why, the restored Bodhisattva needs to use expedient means, to help guide people, to help them generate confidence as well as, be comforted in their ability to pursue Dharma.
那地藏王菩萨凭什么有这样的本事哈，也没有什么了不起的。因为我们每个人都可以跟他一样，只要我们发这个愿，地狱不空，誓不成佛，众生度尽，方证菩提，敢不敢发这个愿？只要你敢发这个愿，我们就跟地藏王菩萨一样。但是大家不要担心，其实我这边把这个我刚刚不是说没有什么了不起，是因为我们自己每个人的众生都可以发这个愿，那我们每个人都可以成为地藏王菩萨，只要我们去发这个愿。但是我们为什么不敢发呢？其实如果你想成佛，每一个佛每个菩萨都要发这个愿的。好，那有了一个这样的信愿之后呢，就会有善缘，有善缘就会有善巧方便，然后才可以度化众生。那这里面一个很重要的地方就在于信跟愿，它是一个启动因子。
So why is it the earthly Bodhisattva? It has all these expedient means and it has great power. It's actually not so hard after all. It's because he made this vow.I vow that I will not realize Buddhahood until the hells are empty. I vow that only after all living beings have been rescued will I myself accomplish Bodhi. So, in fact, all sentient beings, every one of us, we can become as skillful and as powerful as Erstor Bodhisattva. Do you dare to make these vows yourself? Do you think you can do it? All sentient beings can actually do it. But why is that that sometimes we feel that we are not capable or we're not willing to make this kind of vows? So I actually spell it out for you here. First, you need to have generate faith and vows. And only by generating these great faith and vows, then favorable conditions and affinities will naturally gather. And then consequently, you will develop skillful means and which will enable you to deliver all sentient beings. So having faith and vows, that's the key, the most critical pivotal point in initiating this whole sequence of events.
所以地藏王菩萨发这个愿，不是要让我们产生另外一种恐惧，说哇这个不行，成佛要这样，我看我是办不到的，不是这个样子的。那在地藏经里面，它其实就有讲，还有包括这部经，其实我们人与人之间的相处，你只要对这个人有信心，你相信他， 你就会跟他有善缘，有时候我们常常会讲嘛，说他起烦恼，你去劝劝他了，你去安慰他，他说不行不行，他不会听我的，那个人去好了，为什么？因为我在他心中没有分量，那个人他跟他有善缘，所以要劝说的时候要找那个有善缘的人去劝说，为什么他们有善缘呢？ 一个是基于他们彼此之间的信任度，一个是假设你是一个很有愿心的人，像师父他是一个很有愿心的人，所有弟子他都要帮忙的时候，我们自然而然会去找他帮忙。那在这个这样子就产生了一个好的善缘之后，你刚开始不太会度他，刚开始可能要讲一个小时，他才觉得哇，觉得不错。 慢慢的你开始度众生的过程之中，你了解众生的心性的时候，你的众生，你度众生的过程就会越来越快，然后越来越精准。那这时候你的善巧方便具足之后，你随处就可以度化众生。So
by making this great vows and talking about this great vows, the earth store bodhisattva, the purpose isn't to create yet another thing to fear about, causing more fear, thinking that, I don't think I'm as strong as Earth Sword Bodhisattva, there's no way that I can make a vow like this. That's not the purpose. In fact, the reason why making great vows is so important is usually between people, when one person has faith and confidence about the other person, naturally, it creates a favorable condition and affinity between these two people. For instance, sometimes so-and-so is having some trouble, is vexed about something, and then we'll tell one person A to say, hey, go try to talk this out with that person, try to comfort that person. But person A will say, no, I don't have enough of a relationship with that person, he's not going to listen to me, so it should be person B. To make that kind of connection. So with an example like that, why is it that person A wouldn't work but person B will work? There are several explanations. First one is the level of trust. So maybe there's different levels of trust between pairs of individuals. But then also, for people like Shifu has generated great vows already. So whenever we are in trouble or we need some sort of consultation, we naturally seek him out. And that's because Shifu has great vows and great confidence in all of his disciples. So as you do this more and more, maybe initially it will take you an hour to talk things through with the person who's having vexations. And gradually, over a period of time, you get to know sentient beings better and better, and the way that you approach the problem will become faster and more articulate. And that's how you develop skillful means to help sentient beings.
那如果我们想要看到一时境界，就是十法界，就是一真法界的一时境界呢？
我们一定要发一个愿，跟所有的众生都有缘的一个愿，不然呢，我们的一时境界，我们的世界是不完整的，因为这个世界没有办法包含所有一切的众生，所以一切众生是来成就我们看到那个十法界，就是一真法界的那个菩萨。如果我们的愿没有包含，就是还有 exclude 就是这批人不要，这批人不要的时候呢，是不可能看到一时境界的。
So if you really want to see the one true reality, it's pertinent that you make this great vows to help all sentient beings to create good affinities and conditions with all sentient beings. Why is that? Because in order to realize this one true reality, your view or your scope must encompass all sentient beings. Otherwise, if you exclude so-and-so, exclude a certain group of people, then your reality is not complete. So to reach the state of Ten Dharma Dhatu, which is also the same as the one true reality, you must practice no exclusion.
那上卷哈，这部经上卷就是在我们再 refresh 一下哈，就是上卷讲甚深的根据法门，就是我们的六根如何接触六识，产生六根接触六尘，产生六识，然后基于根本无明，然后这样的一个运作产生了不同的业力哈。
So let's refresh our memory a little bit. The first chapter of the sutra is the Dharma Gate concerning the profound rules of karma formulation by the organs. It basically talks about the six organs perceiving the six objects and giving rise to the six consciousness and combining that with our fundamental ignorance and creating all sorts of karma.
上卷就是教导我们用赞茶轮的方法齁来检测什么，检测自己根本无明，还有六根齁，六尘六识这样的一个交互作用齁产生的一种业相。那从第一轮的赞茶，我们过去所做的善恶的业种，到第二轮赞茶齁，哪一种业善恶业种的强弱大小，到第三轮呢，是赞茶我们哈受报是苦乐吉凶的哪一种业报哈。
So the first chapter went on to talk about using the method of divination to verify all sorts of karmas that we have created. So by first you use this method to discern your past karmic deeds.And then the second round is to test the strength of each of these either wholesome or unwholesome karma, and the third state is then to verify what kind of retributions that you are currently receiving as a result of past karma.
那这里的重点哈，不是在于好像算命这样，你去占查有什么问题就去占查哈。那它里面最主要的一个核心要教导我们的是忏悔，今天会讲。
The core, it's very important to keep in mind that the core of this, the sutra is not talking about fortune telling or divination. It's for you to know your karmic past karma and then to repent.So there's actually a very specific method of repentance that we're going to go into today.
那下卷呢，就是说，当我们能够忏悔清净，身口一清净，你借由赞茶的方法来检测哈 ，detect 你自己因为忏悔之后，把自己身口意的恶业呢，忏悔到清净的时候呢，这时候才可以开始修禅哈。在修观，然后下卷就告诉我们，介绍给我们说如何观一时境界，用两种观行，一个是给顿根的叫做唯心识观，一个是给立根者叫真如实观。
And so the second chapter went on, based on the result that you found from using the previous method, and then by engaging in deep, sincere repentance. Once your past karmic deeds and the consequences have been cleansed, then you are ready to proceed with the practice of contemplation. So in chapter two, the sutra talks about there are two different methods of contemplation to help people see that one true reality. And for those people with dull karmic roots, it's suggested that you practice the contemplation of consciousness only. And for those people with sharp karmic roots, then the suggested practice is the contemplation of true suchness.
所以这个 下卷其实也非常的不好讲，那基本上也是在讲如来这个如来藏的境，如来的境界。那两种观行其实唯心是观在讲这个唯识学的这个观行，那真如是观就有点像直观，直接中观，直接观如来境界。所以这个可能我们要到下半部再讲。
So the second chapter is actually pretty complicated to talk about as well. So basically what it's trying to get at is one true reality. And so the first method of contemplation has to do with looking into consciousness and through that route. Whereas the second method is similar to direct contemplation.
长秀法师，你去我的书架上把那个赞茶轮拿来。
忘记拿赞茶轮哈。好，那开始，如果你想要用藏茶经来赞茶哈，它有一个原则的哈，它不是说今天哦，我今天这支股票要不要买，赞茶一下哈，然后呢，这个要跟哪一个结婚，好。啊，这个我应该是往去工作，应该是去往北还是往南、往东、往西哈？这个其实不需要赞茶了哈，因为以我个人的观点来讲，这就是你自己，就是说你只要依着你的正念哈去做选择哈。这经上他是这样讲哈，他说如果哈你有障难者、障难事。好，那前面讲一堆就是我们上个礼拜讲的，我们就讲很多障难事嘛，又什么天灾人祸，然后你怎样又怎样，有没有？然后你就是你有那么多障难事的时候，就是说当你遇到障碍还有危难，你真的不知道你要如何，你好像被绑住进退不得，然后你好像无路可走这个时候你若自心的去用赞茶轮他会告诉你如何解难解你的危难好，这个时候才用赞茶轮因为你目前遇到了很大的业障，你的业障很大的业障现前，那这个时候如果你因为你的修行力不够，就我们的修行力不够，或是我们的这个因缘观不够强，好，那遇到这种很重大危难的时候，就只会哭天喊地说天哪地啊，这到底是怎么一回事啊世界太不公平了就只会你只找不到任何理由了这个时候用赞茶轮来告诉你是说你的业障是怎么你现在很强的业障是什么，然后你现在因为是个很强的业障，你现在的业报是什么，你生的这个重病你会不会好，那即便你不是什么重病你也可能会死。
So to use this method of divination, there are actually guidelines that you have to followIt's not meant to be used for everyday little things like, should I invest in this company, buy this particular stock? Should I marry this person or not? Or, which job should I take? Should I go north or south? to me, this kind of questions and decisions, you should just follow your, follow right thinking and make the decision yourself. So this method of divination is actually used when there are extreme obstacles. We talked about all sorts of obstacles last week already, natural calamities, etc. So you have to be in this very extreme situation where you feel you're bound and tied and there's really nowhere for you to turn. This is an indication that you are confronted with a great obstacle, karmic obstacle. And because our practice is not deep and strong enough, and also because of our understanding of cause and conditions is not perfectly aligned, again, it's not strong enough. So when we are confronted with these extreme obstacles, sometimes we feel helpless, and all we do is to cry and lament and not really know what to do. So in this case, this is when you evoke and use this method of divination to discern, to find out exactly what past karmic deed have I done to bring about this result, this current situation, and what kind of consequences will then follow, what kind of a fruit would I reap from the deed that I have done in the past. That's the purpose of using this method.
So, 严厉的考验的时候，就是说重的业障现前的时候，是要用佛法来面对处理，千万不要去自杀，然后也不要让自己变忧郁症，你不断的去想它，你的脑子不断的去想你那烦心的事情，然后不寻求方法来处理的时候。 慢慢的，你的脑袋的这个secretary就permanent，就是永远的 damage 之后，你的忧郁症所谓的忧郁症就必须要靠药物来处理。那这个是就对我来讲，这部经就是说，当你遇到这种无解，然后你又陷入这种没有办法跳脱的环境的时候呢，也许你来用赞察经来协助我们。 如何来忏悔业障，然后能够转换这样的一个情境。
So for us Buddhist practitioners, whenever we are confronted with these really extreme cases of obstacles, really serious ones, we should try to use Dharma, Buddha Dharma, to help us deal with the situations at hand. Never go through the route of committing suicide, and also try not to let yourself fall into the pit of depression, because sometimes when we mull over our problem, just focusing on the problem itself over and over and over, the neural circuitry is going to experience some sort of shortage, and you could fall into the same circuit over and over again. So instead, we need to try to find ways to resolve the issue, resolve the problem at hand. And so in this kind of situation, we can use this method of divination to help us find out the cause of the problem and then further to repent. Through very deep and sincere repentance, then we can transform the situation.
那第二个原则呢，就是经上讲，他说缘和缘 缘聚了就有了，缘尽呢则灭，就是事情一切事情因为缘因缘聚合而有，也会因为因缘的这个尽了之后呢，它消灭了。那所以很多的事情就是在于如何去转换那个缘。
And the second guideline is we have to understand in the sutras, we often talk about when conditions come together, when conditions gather, then the situation, a phenomenon arises. When the conditions are exhausted, then the phenomenon disperses or perishes. So it's important to understand this principle.
那改变这个缘的主要的是在哪里？在心。好，他说业集随心象现国起。好，就是说今天事情就是因缘在周围好产生，但是他那个业会把所有的因缘聚集起来，好变成那个事件的发生，是因为心。好，比如说今天好我们在讨论说小孩子哭，好小孩子哭是一个因缘，好它是一个现象，对不对？假设母亲父母亲，你的心是很讨厌说你不要再哭了，我要赶作业，我赶报告，我有那么多事情要做，我快被 fire 掉你还哭，好然后你起嗔恨心了吧，好然后这个你起嗔恨心之后，所有要打他然后他又哭得更大声的因缘齁就又开始聚集了。然后你的阿公阿嬷，阿公阿嬷爷爷奶奶齁又要来护驾齁，然后全家吵成一团的因缘就慢慢的聚集，完全在于你这个主角呢开始起嗔恨心，你不要有这个现象发生。然后那个就然后你本来好像好好的写作业了齁，然后你因为一念嗔恨心起，然后你的业力会让你齁三天三夜不得安宁，因为所有的人都搅进来了。
So by understanding that principle, what we do have to keep in mind is that by changing these conditions, you can actually change the phenomenon, the situation. So over here we talk about, and ultimately, it's the mind that is creating the karma, creating the situation at hand. So we talked about this example during our discussion earlier, where a phenomenon can arise, but it's the mind that's creating additional karma. So in this case, in the household, the child is started crying, but the child crying is actually just a phenomenon. It's your mind that's making their interpretation. So if the parent a parent gives rise to anger and starts scolding the child, interpreting that as something that goes against to his or her own wishes of completing certain tasks, finishing a report, and starts scolding the child, then it's going to cause the situation to erupt, and the child will cry even more, grandparents will interfere, and so it becomes all chaotic in the family. And because of that, the parent who had intended to work on a project or assignment end up not having any peace of mind to actually do the work.
那另外一个例子哈，我自己是我自己的 case 哈，就是说我的哥哥哈，我的爸爸呢是从就是跟师父一样哈，就是大陆那边就是从军。来到了台，一个人来到台湾哈，所以他一个人就背负了一个使命，他觉得说，等到有反攻大陆的一天，他希望可以带着他的小孩哈，能够就是说一个可以读书哈，大学毕业，然后都是一个这个正人君子哈，都是一个学业有成的小孩，然后带回去见他的爸爸。就是那种有那这样的一个使命，他一个人来到了台湾，所以我哥哥呢是长子，所以他就很倒霉了。大家想到吗？他就哈，就是我爸爸哈，一天到晚管训的对象，一天到晚挨打的就是他。
So there's another example. This is my personal example. My older brother. My father, he actually came from in that generation of Chinese people. He came from China and moved to Taiwan during the war. And so for this group of people, and father specifically, he harbored this long, long desire that one day we'll fight back and retake China again. And that's when I'm going to bring my family home, my successful family, successful offspring, bring them home and present them in front of my own parents. So he had this really, this hope that he holds really dear to his heart. My older brother is the firstborn, and as you can probably guess, being firstborn, he was the direct recipient of this kind of thinking. So he was often in trouble, and there was a lot asked of him, and he was often scolded or beaten.
所以齁，我爸爸说的心意放在他身上齁，我这个老二就很自由了，就反正就自己玩自己的嘛齁。那我跟我弟弟常常看到我哥哥这样被打齁，被管训，然后就不能出去，又叫读书什么。其实我们都感为他感到很同情啊齁。但是这个我爸爸和我哥哥的关系就一直非常不好，就是因为这种相互关系。然后到我爸爸往生的时候，其实我很担心。 我觉得我哥哥应该是恨我爸爸，好像等于毁了他一生，所以我哥哥整个性格就变得很封闭，然后我就很怕我爸爸往生的时候，我哥哥的恨还在心里面，我想说至少爸爸往生前你化解一下吧，那可是。 有一天，等我爸爸往生以后，那我还是觉得我哥哥应该是内心这种重大的伤害，一定是在他内心深处。那可是有一天，我爸爸往生之后，结果我哥哥开始去管训我的弟弟，因为呢，他觉得我弟弟不务正业，怎么一天到晚换工作，困难，然后。 又结婚，又有一个小孩子，然后你这不负责任的爸爸，然后就讲哇，一天到晚我哥哥就会去管训我弟弟，然后我弟弟就很恨我哥哥，说你管你自己吧，你要管我干嘛，然后就两个就 fight 然后有一天我就去劝我哥哥说，你不要这样对弟弟了，怎样怎样，你想想看，爸爸以前这样对你，你不舒服对不对？结果我哥哥忽然一回头跟我说，爸爸有什么不对？ 他这样对我是因为他很爱我，他很关心我。然后我就啊。<笑><笑>
So me, I was the second born, and so I was because my father's he put all his attention on to my older brother. So I was actually really carefree. I could do whatever I want, and my younger brother and I would often play on our own, and had a great time. On the side, we observed what the relationship, the dynamic between my father and my older brother. I often thought, well, their relationship must be so tense, full of tension. When my father was about to pass on, at that time I was still thinking that, oh, my older brother must harbor a lot of hatred and anger toward my father, and they should try to resolve it a little bit somehow before he passed away. So I was thinking that way. But then after my father passed away, I still thought that way, and I felt that, maybe my father should really be responsible for the person that my older brother had become, that he seemed to be quite close-minded sometimes and quite rigid. That may be because of his upbringing. So I kept thinking in the deepest part of my older brother's mind that there must be some sort of unresolved issue or anger toward my father. But then, after my father passed away, one day I suddenly observed that my older brother started to use the same method to start making demands and try to control, regulate my younger brother. And he would scold him, saying that you need to be have a more direction in your life, one direction, that you shouldn't keep switching jobs, that you already have a family with one child, you need to be more stable to be a responsible person. And my younger brother was, he wouldn't take it. He said, why are you doing this to me now? Remember what father used to do to you, that he kept control every aspect of your life, and were you suffering a lot because of that? Why are you doing the same thing to me? And this is when, this really took me by surprise. My older brother then actually said, And so I tried to get into the middle of this and to say, you should ease off and don't try to use the same method to our younger brother. And this is when my older brother turned around and said to me, what was wrong the way father treated me? He did it because he loved me so dearly. That's why he was so hard on me. There's nothing wrong with it at all.
所以我就变成两边不是人，那我就终于发现说，我的父亲呢，他过往一生对于我哥哥所做的事情，已经是不能改变的，好，就是打他了、骂他了、限制他了，可是我哥哥的心，我哥哥对这样的对待的解读，可以还非常不一样，所以。 就是变成这个时候，我们就可以看到说，我们的内心世界跟外在他人对待我们的所有一切现象，其实是看我们的解读。好，他还是做他的，好，但是我们可以解读是因为恨还是因为爱，其实是在我们的心。那只要我们的心一改变的时候，他人跟我们的关系就不一样了，那个这个业就转了。
So I end up getting stuck in the middle. Anyhow, so this really shows me, it's a great illustration of what we're trying to talk about here, that in terms of my father, what he had done to my older brother is something in the past. The actual behavior, the deeds cannot be changed anymore, it has been done. But in terms of the way my older brother interpret the past deeds, is actually still mutable, and he could interpret what our father did to him as love, or he could interpret it as it's out of hatred and anger. So it's the mind that's doing the interpretation, and when the mind reads the situation differently, interprets it differently, the karma created consequently will change as well.
那所以这边就是在 善塔经的第二个原则就是因缘跟你的心，那它是可以转换的，那如用这样的一个心态来地占我们的善恶业报，然后要自心皈依，就说我要皈依的是佛法身，而不是皈依世间的五欲之乐，所以下面那段就告诉我们说， 一定要自心皈依，然后来谛察这个缘跟心的变化关系跟业报的关系，而不要是单着世间，就是把它当世间算命的，然后你想要得到更多的五欲之乐的这种心态来占的话呢，如果是这样的话呢，你就本来是想借由占察来直通圣道。 结果，如果你的发心不对，心态不对，是想要私欲的话，那你这样的一个战场反而变成是你的障缘、障圣道之缘，障你的圣道。
So this brings back to the second guideline, the second principle of using this method is for us to use this as a window to observe and understand the dynamic relationship between cause and conditions and the mind, and that cause and condition can in fact be transformed as your mind changes. So that is the mentality that we should have as we approach and learn and then use this method. And as we're using this method, we also have to remember that our focus, our mind should still focus on and learning and paying respect and learning from the triple jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha, that we are using. Keep in mind that we're using this method to help us better understand the relationship between the mind and cause and conditions. So we're not using the method to fulfill some sort of worldly desires, so that we may live even better, all these five desires being fulfilled. That's not the point of this method. This method is used for us to, it's a route toward the sacred realm for understanding the one true reality. So we have to keep that in mind. Otherwise, if you're using the method for worldly desires to meet your daily needs then it will actually become an obstacle to your pursuit of Dharma.
好，那现在开始要站第一轮了哈。那站第一轮之前哈，还要准备工作哈，不是我们这个哈骰子，好像这个轮哈，然后骰子就拿起来甩了哈，这样不灵了哈。所以你要自心的话呢，第一个你要敬礼佛法身三宝哈，然后要供养佛法身一切众生和地藏王菩萨，你要称名佛法身跟地藏王菩萨的名号哈，就是说至少你地藏王菩萨的名号要送一千声哈，很诚心的送一千声，然后你才去值这个轮哈。
So we are ready now to do the first round of divination. But before you even start, there's preparatory work that needs to be done. You don't just pick up the dice and just throw it like any games. First of all, you have to prepare your mind by being utmost sincere, pay respect and prostrate in front of Buddha, making offerings and recite the name of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha.And Earth Store Bodhisattva, and you recite it at least 1,000 times with utmost sincerity, and then you can move on to actually using the dice.
这张哈没有英文，因为字太多。但是哈，重要的就是跟大家讲是说，当我们末法时代的时候哈，就是比丘、比丘尼、优婆塞、优婆夷哈，等于四众弟子呢，在。世间出世间的因果法，就是当我们在修因果法哈，在修任何一个法门的时候呢，没有办法得决定性哈，就是三心二意哈，就跑道场。师父讲是摸门教的嘛，这门摸一摸，那门摸一摸，然后就觉得这个好像不管用，那个不管用，然后所有的法门就是换来换去，你都没有办法对一个法门产生一个信心，持续的修下去。然后呢，修学的时候。修习任何一个法门，又没有办法对无常、苦、空、无我，哈、哦，相应，哈、哦，总是想说，哎，要得到一个什么东西，哈、哦。那对于四圣谛、十二因缘法又不能契入，哈、哦，那就更不要讲说观真如真如，哈、哦，就是无生无灭的真如法，也没办法契入，哈、哦。啊，这三圣，哈、哦，就是这个佛。声闻缘觉跟菩萨圣三圣当中也没有一个定向，一下子想要自己就治疗和走人，一下就我应该修菩萨圣，一下就觉得菩萨修菩萨圣就众生就我花了我太多时间，我都没有办法自修，然后就两边就在那边弄来弄去，不知道自己要怎么办，然后就是修行就是处于一片混沌当中，然后一生又即将过去了啊，这个时候你就好好的哈，自心忏悔哈，然后呢，让自己就是来检查一下，到底为什么我连修行这件事情我都没有办法进入哈。好。
So, this slide has a lot of Chinese text, and so we're going to speak in the English text. So basically, it's talking about at the end of this. This is the end of Dharma, or in the era of the end of Dharma.So in this period of time, practitioners, the four different kinds of monastics and as well as laity practitioners, oftentimes it's very difficult to practice, and we are very indecisive about our own practice. So we can't decide on a method to use. That's why Shifu used to call us, it's actually a pun, I don't know how to translate, that we are merely touching the frames of Dharma doors, and we never really enter the Dharma door. That's the kind of practice that we embark on. So in this period of time, the end of Dharma, it's difficult for people to have any real correspondence with the teaching of impermanence, suffering, emptiness, and no self. We can't understand the Four Noble Truths, or not even able to really engage in any true contemplation, needless to say, achieving any kind of real attainment. So we lack direction. We're constantly switching, changing from one method to another. And we can't even decide whether we should generate great vows to help all sentient beings, or we should just work on ourselves and to free ourselves from the sufferings. Perhaps you think I should try to help sentient beings, but then sentient beings are so difficult, and so maybe I should give up on them and work on myself first, etc., etc. So this whole situation is chaotic and muddy. And then we spend all our time amidst of this chaos, not able to find a clear direction, and very soon our life is ending.
Okay.所以呢，第一个战场哈，其实它战场的内容就是十善跟十恶哈，所以这个哈，这个轮哈小小的哈，这是弘一大师做的哈，他依据这个《战场三恶业报经》哈。 做的哈，做出来那藕益大师是写注解，但他没有做出这个轮出来哈。那他就是你看他每一个轮哈，这只能小小的像拇指尖这么小，不能太大哈。然后呢，四面嘛哈，然后四面之后就往上尖尖的，所以他就变得好像有一点像陀螺，但是又可以转哈，所以才叫轮嘛哈。那他第一轮第一个战场是有十个。 所以十善跟十恶哈，所以比如说你这边是写妄语，哈，妄语就黑字，那它的背面就是不妄语，好，就这样，十二跟十善是背对背，好，啊，所以它有十个嘛哈，就妄语啦、杀生啊什么的哈，就是身三口四，然后意三嘛哈，会背吗？身三是什么？ 杀盗淫，对不对？那口是呢？妄言、绮语、两舌、恶口，好，意三就是贪嗔痴，然后善业就是不，好，就不做这些，不做这些，哈，所以它有十个轮，就是这样子做成的，哈。So
so in this kind of midst of the chaos and indecisiveness, that's when we use this method. To help us find a clear direction and to really find out the cause of our chaos and indecisiveness and then to repent for it so that we can actually embark on substantive practice. So these styles are actually initially produced by Master Hongyi and he used a description in the sutra and came up with this design. Master Ouyi, he's the one that commented on the sutra. But it wasn't until Hongyin Daxie who actually produced the actual object. So these are about thumb size, small, hold between your fingers, and there are four sides to each of these dies, I suppose. It also sort of the two ends are kind of pointy, kind of looks like an olive or a top. That's why in Chinese it's actually called wheel, but it can spin. So there are 10 of them that you use for this first round, and on each of these, back to back, on one side it talks about what it lists one of the 10 transgressions, and on the back is one of the wholesome deeds. So for instance, on one side says lying, that is one of the 10 unwholesome deeds. The flip side of it will then say no lying, which is one of the 10 wholesome deeds. So they're back to back like this. And these 10 dies actually, each they list the 10 wholesome deeds and the 10 unwholesome deeds. Three related to the physical body, three related to your words, and four related to words, and three is related to the mind. Can you recite them based on your memory? What are the three, four, threes? No killing, no stealing, no committing sexual misconduct, and relating to the verbal is no lying, no speaking harshly, no speaking divisively, and no speaking idly. And relating to the mind is to not be greedy, not be angry, and not to hold wrong views. So those are the 10 unwholesome deeds, and the flip side of it is no killing, no stealing, etc. will then be the 10 wholesome deeds.
那有的人讲说，那才不止十种也好，应该还有多种啊。但是呢，《战察经》讲哈，他说其实十善是重恶之本，十善之本，十恶是重恶之本。 所有的善恶都源来自于这十善十恶哈。那他的，所以呢，为什么他就用这种就十个就够了哈？比如说，我问大家哈，嫉妒心是什么心？嫉妒心是什么心？嗔跟痴。为什么痴？别人比我们好，我们就嫉妒哈，就觉得他没那么好啊，我比他更好啊，就是一种也是贪啊哈，啊有嗔就贪加嗔加痴嘛哈，那傲慢心呢？傲慢心我最厉害，其实嫉妒心有没有傲慢心？啊，傲慢心也是什么？也是嗔心嘛哈，也是无明之心，所以它就是十善十恶里面就包括了哈。那他要怎么？好，先翻这个。
So some people may say that well, there are a lot more than ten is not enough. But the sutra actually says that the ten wholesome deeds are the root of all wholesomeness. The ten wholesome deeds will subsume all other wholesome dharmas, while the ten unwholesome deeds are the root of all unwholesomeness, and they will subsume all unwholesome dharmas. So let's take jealousy for example. What's jealousy? What's in it? How do you relate it to one of the ten unwholesome deeds? So you could understand it as there's anger in there, there's also having inverted, deluded thinking, ignorance, thinking that other people are better than us. There's also greed for praises, perhaps. And similarly, arrogance, being egotistic, it's a manifestation of anger and ignorance.
好，其实他要指很简单哈，跟我们指骰子有一样的哈，就是念自心不在佛，礼佛之后，你念一千声地藏王菩萨圣号哈，然后你就手就这样仰着哈，握这十个轮哈，然后呢找一块干净哈没有用过的布，白布哈，然后在佛桌前面哈，你就旁指哈，我想象应该是这样，就是往外一。一直好，它就会转，对不对？然后它就开始有红的、黑的，哈，黑的是恶的，红的是善的。哎呦，真希望这是我的，只有一个黑的哈，一个黑的，四个红的，其他是空白。空白就是你在这个方面也没有做很好的善，也没有做很恶的哈。那红的就是你过去啊做得很好的哈。然后黑的就是你的比较做的不好的地方啊哈，就这样一直哈就看出来了哈。
So this is actually very easy to use. In the sutra, it talks about you hold these 10 dice in your hand, and you find a piece of cloth that's clean and unused, and then you throw it sideways, toss all dice sideways, and then look. So there's black side and red side. The red are representatives, they show the wholesome deeds, and the black ones are unwholesome deeds. So Master was saying that I wish this throw actually represents mine, because there's only one black one and four red ones, and the rest are blank. The blank ones means that in those areas that you have basically cancel each other out, you haven't done much in those areas. The red ones means things that you have done well in the past, and the black one means things that you have made transgressions and need to work on.
那其实哈，假设你是自己常常修行内行哈，很熟练的人，其实你不用指，你大概就知道哈，你往昔哈做了什么坏事，习气上哈是口业啦，就常常哈骂人啦哈，还是哈常常有这个偷心啦哈。或是那个看到什么都想杀哈，就想把它歼灭啊，不能说杀哈，就说不喜欢的东西你就很想把它歼灭掉的那种杀心哈，你就知道说你自己往昔是怎么样。但是有时候很 tricky 的哈是什么？比如说你今天真的不明白你为什么哈，比如说你哈从小到大哈工作一天到晚哈就会有人在背后要陷害你。常常就有人要陷害你，然 然后你去算命哦，还不是只有这辈子人家陷害你，你上辈子人家也陷害你，上上辈子人家也陷害你，每一辈子人家都陷害你。那奇怪，这因果怎么讲？照理说他陷害我，应该我这辈子他就要还债，对吧？结果哇，生生世世都被人家陷害，这是什么道理？然后气得半死哈，就战场。因为你不知道你的根本业缘在哪里，那很有可能是什么？是你的口业。你一天到晚哈伤讲话伤害别人，别人没有办法 fight back， 没有办法，人家的心受伤是一辈子生生世世的，就是他的自尊心也好，他存在的价值也好，或者他人格的面子也好哈，就说因为你的口无遮拦哈。你让人众生，就是心，这个心伤害到极点，那他一有机会的时候，他只能用他的方法，好，就给你扯一下腿，扯一下头。那请问这因果要怎么讲？好，所以，当我们看到，很明白的因果道理的时候，我们就不要去战场了，对不对？但是你遇到很奇怪的状况的时候，你觉得说。我欠他那么多吗？一天到晚就他都骗我钱，那为什么到英国来讲应该是这辈子逃啊，我还他，对不对？他上辈子欠我骗我钱，他上上辈子也骗我钱，那这英国到底怎么讲？因为不明白英国道理的时候，你还战场啊？原来他的根本原因是在于你的口业有问题。那这时候我们要去忏悔我们的口业。去改变我们的口业，这个时候，这个业果业报才会准。
So for those of you who engage in contemplative and reflective practice on a regular basis, you probably have a pretty good clue of things that you have done in the past, and you are able to, even without using this method, able to sort of connect with what you are going through currently with some of your habitual patterns. So that may be the case. But sometimes things happen in your life that it's just really the relationship between what you're going through right now and past need may be very difficult to decipher and very indirect. For instance, if this life you often suffer from people backstabbing you, over and over again, and then being confused by the situation, you went to some fortune teller and found out that, oh, in the past life, and the very many, many lives in the past, life after life, you have been backstabbed by people around you, either at work or friendship, etc. And it can be very baffling, confusing. So this is when you use this method to find out exactly what have I done in the past to bring about this result of being backstabbed over and over again. You would think that if someone had backstabbed me previously and done me wrong this life, isn't it me that I should be able to get some repayment instead of being backstabbed yet again? So to resolve this kind of confusion, to get an answer, to get to the bottom of things, you use the dice to try to help you find out exactly which karmic source, which karmic transgressions have you committed in the past that's bringing about this current situation repeatedly. So you may find out that you didn't backstab people previously in the past lives. It was actually speaking harshly to people that's creating this current situation, that by speaking harshly or too directly, you have hurt people's feelings or dignities or made them lose face. And these people who have been hurt by you in the past, they have no other means. So whenever a situation arises, they use their little tricks to try to hinder you as a revenge. And so understanding the real cause of this backstabbing, then you are able to then repent for it and then make corrections and ultimately transforming the conditions.
那接下来哈，你就要开始，那就是说，当你遇到真的不能理解、不知道怎么解释的困境的时候，有时候战察轮它可以帮我们去了解啊，原来我们的根本的业缘就是造的业的 是在哪里哈？那我们才不会就陷入这种说想不透哈的一种状况了哈。然后等我们这样，比如说战场又发现哇，这个口业哈也很重，杀业很重哈，哇，一大堆黑的哈，哇，然后你就想说这怎么办呢？那问题是说都是黑的，也有什么？你是一百辈子都在做同样的事情，做坏事情，还是说啊，你只是最近这一两辈子才开始做？就是说，你当你知道你有五项哈黑的，三项红的，啊，红的就要继续嘛哈。但是黑的呢，很多的时候你要开始赞叹说，哎，到底它是什么久很久以前开始的，还是最近才开始的？它是很强的，是很弱的哈？因为这是跟我们后来等一下接下来唱和有关系哈。
So that's we use this method in situations where we can understand the source of the problem, and you use the 10 dice to understand exactly which karmic deed, negative karmic that you've committed in the past to create this kind of problem. So once in the first round, you throw the dice and you actually see a lot of black ones, meaning you have done a lot of unwholesome deeds in the past, then you could feel at loss as well. Thinking, well, there are so many black ones, so many past unwholesome deeds that I have committed. Now, what do I do? So, actually, even either the red ones, the wholesome ones or unwholesome ones, they may differ in degrees of severity. So there may be unwholesome deeds that you have been doing for many, many, many lifetimes already. Or maybe it's something that you have only started in this past lifetime.
好，那第二轮的时候只有三颗，好，那大家可想而知嘛，就是身口意各一颗，好，就是身业一颗，口业一颗，意业一颗，好，那比如说身意哈的话，它就有四个面不是吗？好，那四个面就是正中。它正中呢就是红色的，就是正中有一个很实在的很长的哈，从底就两边到底的哈，这个红的表示你这个做善很久，就是很久，假设你是很喜欢布施的人，你几乎都是生生世世布施，而且做大布施。好，假设是这个红的哈，它只有中间短短的哈，那它表示是说你是一个很喜欢布施的人，但是呢你可能就是从十辈之前才开始，好，而且你大概做布施都是小布施，随喜功德帮忙人家一下，好，就是你就知道说哇你这个布施很强，还是布施很那个，好，那另外一边就是黑，所谓的黑的，因为古时候没有红色黑色了，也不好做，那比较恶业的话，它就旁科，它就不是正中，就是科在靠边边，啊，科边边长的深的黑色表示你作恶很久了，那如果靠靠边边短短的表示说你最近才作恶，没有作恶很久，比较好忏悔掉了哈。所以就是说深长的深的表示你作善或作恶很久，然后做或很深，然后呢短的哈就是表示就是你作恶或作善比较浅比较近，好，比较好忏悔。
So that's when you do to find out the severity of your transgressions or your past karmic deeds. You go through the second round. So you pick one transgression, and the second round, there are only three dice for the second round. One for physical behavior, one for speech, and the third one is for your mind. And then you throw the dice. So say take the one for the mind, for instance. On the four sides, there are different demarcations. Red ones, red long ones, red short ones, black long ones, and black short ones. Say if you end up getting a red long mark, it means that you have been doing this in the mind for a very long period of time. The wholesome deed that you have been doing has been long and persistent and also quite profound. On the other hand, if you just see a short red mark, then it means that you have done it, but so perhaps only recently or sporadically or more shallow in nature. Same logic applies to the black ones. In the olden days, it's actually not in two different colors. The red ones will be smack in the middle of the dice, whereas the black ones, because the colors are hard to come by, so the mark is made on the side, on the edge of the dice. So when you see something that's on the edge or a black one, if it's long, it means that you've been doing this unwholesome deed for a long period of time. And it will be harder, it takes longer to repent. Whereas if it's short, then it's pretty recent and light, and it will be easier to be cleansed and repent away.
那比如说，第一轮的时候，你这样一甩，有的人是比较那个是甩，你甩三次，差不多都一样哈。假设你有五个黑的哈，哇，这下惨了哈，就哇，这么多哈，三个口叶，两个一个深叶哈，一个异叶，对不对哈？然后你不是，然后你要知道每一个叶的酒劲强弱，对不对？所以你变成说好，我有五个，第一个好二口，那你现在就开始你要蘸茶哈，但是蘸茶之前还有一些忏悔要做，比如说你第一个蘸了哈，五个拿出来，我先要蘸口液，那我要知道我口液的酒劲强弱，对不对？然后你又念一千声地藏菩萨，然后你吃。哇，怎么都是红的呢？又红的又深，对不对？就表示什么？不相应，因为你明明是拿黑的出来嘛，就真口意三叶全部红的又深，表示不相应是什么意思？第一个你不够自诚，因为它矛盾，好，就说你没有很自诚，所以你这时候还要再礼拜，好，然后再自诚的念，好，然后你再站，我说哦，你看深叶黑的异叶。黑的口叶红的，也不对，因为二口是口叶嘛，结果身跟翼都黑的，结果口叶居然是红的，这样也不相应，对不对？你就只能说，你再去拜佛，再甩，哦，又奇怪，为什么是口叶又是红的？比如说好，你一甩了好，假设我今天 manipulate 了一下哈，你的这个口叶哈是黑的。口叶是黑的哈，但是你的叶是红的，那你的深叶也是红的，好，那你就知道说，哇，你这个口叶其实你只要知道说是久的还是紧的了哈，那你发现说，哇，你真的是口叶这么重，好，你就一个一个去甩，对不对哈？比如说沙叶，沙叶，可是你沙叶就是短短的，好，可是。你从这个 pattern 你可以看到一个很微妙的现象哈，就是说你二口，你有没有可能是出于好心？这个业还比较，就是说你出于好心，就像我爸爸出于好心救他，就又骂又打，就深夜跟口业都黑的这样哈，就是说。他为了小孩子哈，我们很多父母亲是心是好的，但是你做出来，你又骂小孩、打小孩，你跟他往昔的业缘这样子哈，这个东西你就是说，你的心是好的，你得好好的去忏悔你，那你就比较好去调整，就说，你可不可以用另外一种方法，好来表达你的爱，对小孩子的爱意呢？好。但是也又很可能是这样哈，你的口叶哈是短短的啦，短短黑黑的哈，因为你通常哈气都不讲出来的，憋在心里嘛，就是不讲哈这样，但是你的身你的意叶可能是哦哦的，意叶是又黑又深哈，那你当然深叶也是没有，就是说你是一个很会自律性很高的，就是说你生气的时候被教育不能讲出来哦，也不能做坏事哦，哈。但是你 你的心里一直想说，有一天我想杀你，有一天我想杀你，但是你没有去做了哈，你也没有讲出来了哈。但是这个业深不深啊？也是深呢哈。就是说这个很微妙的哈，就是你去战场你的这个业的时候，你发现你虽然是一个不太讲，你口就叫什么口业很好，就是说你的口德，你很有口德，可是你都闷在心里。烦恼在心里，恨在心里，好，这样也没办法跟人家结善缘了哈。就是说，他告诉你第二页，那第二个战场，他最主要的那告诉你的哈，就是说，因为前面的十页造的不能改了嘛，能改的要从哪里改？第二个，要从第二个改，那忏悔的要从第二个开始忏，自心忏悔哈，所以呢。第二轮你是会一直 repeat， 一直会重复忏，他怎么忏呢？他就是啊，你发现你这个恶口哦，三个都黑杠、哦，这个时候呢，你就要怎样呢？自心理忏，好、哦，这是一个上卷的核心，他告诉我们往昔做了什么不好的业，那个业的究竟强弱。然后我们应该要怎么样来改变呢？来消除罪业，就是要自心理忏。所以呢，第二卷的核心就是教我们自心理忏。然后有点讲太久了。
第一卷的核心。
上卷。
So, these three rounds of the method includes three rounds of throwing the dice. So after you complete the first round, it shows you how many, the 10 deeds, 10 unwholesome deeds and 10 wholesome deeds. It shows you how many red ones you have and how many black ones you have. And then you move on to the second round. But before you move on, there's actually more things that you have to do in between to again refocus and center your mind to be sincere. And for instance, reciting Earth Lord Bodhisattva's name 1,000 times first, and then you can proceed to do the second round of dice throwing. And so in the second round, there are only three dice for the second round, and you throw it. And so for instance, the example that was given here was in the first round, whoa, you end up seeing five black ones. There are so many of them. What do I do? You first take the first one, the one that says, it's a speech issue, and speaking harshly. So you take that one out, and then you throw the second round of the three dice. Oh, the result end up being you get three red lines, three deep, long red lines. Then that means the two rounds don't quite correspond well with each other. The possible explanation is that your mind is not centered. You haven't been sincere and focused enough to get a true result. So in that case, you have to repeat the process again, repent and bow and recite Buddha's names, Bodhisattva's names, and then you do it again. And so if you end up getting a red line, which is good, a red line for one of the three dice for speech, again, it doesn't correspond, so you have to redo it again. So eventually you get to the speech is short black ones, and maybe the mind is actually long black ones. Then it shows that, perhaps in terms of your speech, you have committed some unwholesome deeds in actually the words that you use to other people. And so in that case, you repent for it. Another scenario is that one of the three dice is the mind, has to do with the mind. So perhaps you haven't done so much verbally, but you actually harbor a lot of hatred and anger in your own mind. Maybe you have been taught all your life that you don't speak harshly to other people, that you follow this rule, but you actually follow all these feelings inside. So is this a kind of unwholesome deed? Yes, unwholesome deed has been committed, not verbally, but in your mind, and you do have to repent for it. On the other hand, another scenario could be your mind is good, but you have spoken harshly, verbally. This often happens in parental relationships with children where you really intended, for instance, my father, his intention was good, but the method he used, the words he uttered were actually really harsh. And so that has to do with the karmic relationship between two individuals. And so that could also be one scenario. In any case, the first round, the bottom line is, the first round has to do with past deeds. Those deeds have been committed and cannot actually be changed. It's the second round where you discern the severity of all these past deeds. And this is when you can begin to really repent and focus. And by being really sincere in your repentance, you will gradually eliminate and cleanse these past unwholesome deeds, and then be able to eventually move on to a more focused practice.
所以齁，这个战场的过程之中，所有的东西都相应齁，比如说我们刚刚举一个例子，就是说，你的口业虽然是浅短的齁，好像没有造太多口业，可是你的内心是很诚恳的。这个的同时，就会你会在第一轮里面会有一个。 称心的一业，对不对？那称心的一业，你一战场的时候应该是很黑很粗的，这样才叫做相应嘛。就是说，你第一轮整个核对起来，就是它都是 match， 不会就是好像不和，会相冲突的哈。那就表示说，你这个战场就是自心诚恳之后，你的战场是非常相应的哈。And
so, when using this method, the result should all be congruent, correspond with each other. There shouldn't be any internal conflicts. So, for instance, the example I gave earlier where you have spoken harshly, but it was a short black line, so you haven't done it that much, but your mind, in terms of your mind, there was a long black line. That means you bottle up, you keep everything inside, but your anger and hatred is festering inside. So if that's the case with the first round of speaking harshly, then in the first round, you should also have another one that's of the mind, belongs to the mind aspect where you're harboring a lot of anger. So the result of the result of your throwing the dice should all match and should yield one unified picture.
那接下来的哈，就说，这边就讲哈，假设你有很多黑色的业哈，十二业里面有好几个黑色的，而且哈，指数来都是厚的，都是很粗很厚的时候哈，要去哪去理忏，而不是去学定修禅学禅定。你这时候学禅定哈，会像师父讲的哈，会着魔，会发狂哈。 因为业障会现前，所以不要随便一天到晚想要去闭关，先把自己身口意三业，忏悔清净之后再去修定修慧。And
in the first round, if you end up seeing a lot of black lines where you have committed a lot of unwholesome deeds, then it says in the sutra, personal negative karma are numerous and dense. This person should not practice and study dhyana or contemplation right away. Instead, this person should first practice the method of repentance. So this actually corresponds with what Shifu had taught us, that if you have a lot of past negative karma, you should not try to enter a solitary retreat or think about practicing contemplation right away, because in that case, you will encounter a lot of obstacles and actually enter a deviant path.
接下来的忏悔就要不断的用第二轮，第二个战场轮就是这三个，你就是忏悔，然后忏悔之后，早上起来掷骰子，掷轮，掷轮看看有没有变得比较轻，比如说你现在要忏悔口业了，再一下有没有轻，然后你的身业有没有轻，你的每一个五个黑黑的，看看战场有没有变得比较好一点，如果没有的话呢，又再去忏悔，然后再来掷。 一直直到你一直忏悔，就有7天的14天、49天、100天到1000天都有，去直到你的身口意三业都清净变红的。 好，那这时候你才开始进入下卷修禅修定，好，修定修慧。那最主要是说，这里在教大家这中卷哈，这个一直重复的这个过程呢，这个自心忏悔就是我们要讲的赞察三恶业帮里的赞察善恶忏法，好，在这边，那可能要等下一次再讲哈，怎么样自心忏悔。
So once you realize which unwholesome deed that you have committed in the past in the first round, then you are going to start repeatedly use the second round, the three dice. So every day you do your repentance practice wholeheartedly, and the next day in the morning you wake up, first thing you throw the dice to see if there has been any change, whether the thick long black line has changed to something lighter, whether cleansing had actually took place. If not, then you repeat the repentance. The duration of repentance can range from 7 days, 14 days, 49 days to 100, even 1,000 days. You just keep repeating it, keep repenting until one day you see that all your past unwholesome deeds has been repented away. And only then you move on to the practice of contemplation, of meditation and wisdom.
那下一次哈是六月吧，下一次我们就来看看什么是赞察忏。
And so the focus of all this when you're doing repentance is to be bring forth your utmost sincerity to do it wholeheartedly. But exactly what does it mean to be repenting wholeheartedly? This is something we'll be focusing on next time, which is in June, and that's when we're going to talk about the specifics of this method of repentance.